That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Do the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks just fell to the Dallas Stars 5-1. It's their fourth straight loss, unfortunately, for Chicago after winning three in a row on the homestand prior to the three-game road trip for the Blackhawks. Let's bring in Troy Murray to help us recap this game. Troy, we got some sad organ music on this. Fine.
It's not what I wanted. I wanted some happy Christmas music after this game. We don't need any grinching here tonight.
There were like 2 minutes left in the hockey game, and Troy's writing something down on a sheet of paper to give to me, and I'm looking, and he's frowning, and I read the sheet. No happy Christmas music. Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, the first period was pretty decent for Chicago. It was the second period. Tyler Bertuzzi gets ejected from the game for elbowing Colin Blackwell in the head. By no means did that look purposeful or intentional, but I think the inadvertent elbow to the head still warranted a game misconduct. And so I was looking at it at the replay, and I'm like, man, this did not look intentional. It's not like one of those things where you saw the chicken wing or whatever. It was just kind of him finishing the check, and the elbow just swung around. And unfortunately, you have to still be in control of your elbow, even if it wasn't an intentional hit.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the game long enough to know that he had control of his arm there. I mean, it's just not his arm's flailing there. I mean, he swung around with the elbow, and he just happened to catch Colin Blackwell right in the face area and dropped him down to the ice. And, you know, I can't argue with the call. Five-minute sure. Elbowing call, game misconduct, that's just the rules. So you can't fault the referee for making that decision, but it just seemed like it fell apart after that. And, you know, the Hawks just undisciplined in this game, too many minor penalties, and the Dallas Stars only scored one goal, but it took away a lot from, you know, players that are not on the penalty kill, and the guys who are on the penalty kill, you know, playing big minutes and kind of taxing their energy. And, you know, putting the Blackhawks in a tough position. And, you know, some rough... A couple of players had a rough game, and one was Connor Bedard. I mean, yep. He just struggled in this game. He just couldn't handle the puck the way that he needs to. Seemed like he was getting knocked down quite a bit. He did have four shots, but, you know, I really didn't think, other than the goal that he scored, he had a lot of quality opportunities, kind of long-range shots. And, you know, maybe the disturbing part is for a guy like Bedard, I mean, puck possession and making the plays. He had six giveaways, and I take this with a grain of salt, but he was turning the puck over, and he's a minus four in this game. So that's a tough one for him. But hopefully he atones in the game against the St. Louis Blues. Again, you know, you throw this one out the window, and you reset and get ready for the Winter Classic.
Yeah, and he was also 0-for-7 in the faceoff circle after winning, I think it was 5-of-8 in the last game against Buffalo. So he was... not trending in the right direction, but he was coming off a good game.
A lot of it has to do with who he's going up against, and the Dallas Stars were one of the top face-off teams. Their numbers have dropped down a little bit, but when you've got guys around the NHL like Hintz, who's 54% in the face-off circle, Duchesne almost 55%, Sam Steele at 53%. I mean, this is a team that has strength down the middle, and I think you saw that, and maybe... It was a big difference in the game, and a tough matchup wherever you're looking at. You get the last line change, but you weren't able to take advantage of it because the Dallas Stars have, you know, really good depth down the middle, so they're not lacking a lot if one player's not on the ice. And they've got some size down the middle as well. Hintz is 6'3", and Duchesne at 210 pounds. So tough matchup for Bedard in this one. But maybe when you look at the flip side of it, the Dallas Stars sitting right on the cusp of the playoffs and the second wild card spot coming into the game, they needed to win this game. And this is a game that, when you look back on, if they didn't win this game, say, you know, maybe that's, you know, those are games that if you want to make the playoffs, these games, or if you want to make the playoffs, are the type of games that you have to win. And yeah. Dallas, give them full marks. They played a solid game and able to kind of utilize the fact that they were on the man advantage for a long time in this one.
By the way, I think it was earlier in the one of the two road games, I can't remember which one, when didn't Jamie Benn win 15 of 15 draws against Chicago back in. So this is a very good faceoff team, and I do think when we put it into that context, it's no surprise that Bedard struggled, but also the entire team as well.
Yeah, that wasn't what the numbers weren't that bad percentage wise. At 40%, 42%,
42.
Which the way the Blackhawks have gone, I mean, I talked about it a little bit earlier at 37%, 29%. The last two games that they played against the Stars. So, I mean, you kind of look at the analytics, the numbers, and you would think that, you know, the Dallas Stars would be able to get the better of the Hawks in the faceoff circle, and they did. But it was, if you look at it, the Dallas Stars played 15 minutes on the power play. 15 minutes. That's almost, you know, a full period, and that's tough to overcome.
For sure. And to piggyback off of that, so not only do you lose Tyler Bertuzzi for the rest of the game, the Stars go on a five-minute power play. They capitalize, I think it was 12 seconds in or something around there. But then also, all the lines get jumbled up. Now there's no rhythm in the four-line rotation, and it seemingly, I feel like we saw so many different combinations, whether it was Bedard with Hall and Donato. Bedard took a few spins with Frank Nazar. He was on the fourth line with Maroon and Reichel. I mean, so all the rhythm gets disoriented too when, you know, you just lose a guy for half the game.
It's a big difference, and now you're scrambling around to figure out how much you can play guys and, you know, double shift somebody who's going to fill in. So, it's tough for a coach to kind of make up for that. Some teams like to play seven defensemen and go with one less forward, but they have a plan coming in of what they want to do. And all of a sudden, if you're Sorensen and they get you're one of your top line players, and who's been maybe the hottest guy for the Blackhawks here in this stretch under Sorensen, 6 goals in 10 games coming into this one, you need him in the lineup. So that's frustrating for Bertuzzi not to be a part of it. I know that he probably feels bad about taking that penalty. It does happen, but he's got to be in control of it. And, you know, if you look at just the power play opportunities and how much time it took out of the 5-on-5 play for the Blackhawks and the rhythm that they wanted to get into this game, it just didn't happen.
The Hawks played a decent first period. They scored the first goal of the hockey game. Connor Bedard got credit for it, even though he looked confused as to whether Tyler Bertuzzi ended up getting a piece of it. And then the Hawks get a power play opportunity on that. It was like a few minutes later, and
right after,
it was immediately after, and they couldn't do anything with it. It was another opportunity where they could have capitalized to build on that lead, but unfortunately they weren't able to in that moment.
No, that would have been a big one for the Blackhawks to kind of build on that power play goal that they scored, but not able to do it. And then there was a power play chance when the score was 3-1, and they didn't get anything accomplished on that. I don't think they even got a shot on goal. So those are the moments of the game where your top players have to take control of the game and say, okay, we need a play, or we need to have a goal. And they just didn't get it. And again, give credit to the Dallas Stars. They're a good team, and I think that they need to right the ship and find their identity again a little bit more than what you've seen up to this point this season. But when you look at it, that was an opportunity that I think they let slip away. And then right off the bat, you're down by a couple of goals heading into the third period. Not in bad shape. You know, one shot, one opportunity, and you're within one. But 10 seconds into the third period, Dallas scores again, and it's a play that should have been killed. Now you're down by 3 goals, and I think it deflates the bench and kind of showed towards the end of the game.
And even before that third period, the Hawks were down 3-1. And Nick Foligno has an opportunity right here to the right side, and he gets slashed. And it was a clear slash. He would have had a wide-open net. It doesn't go called. He was irate. And, you know, if he scores there, it's a 3-2 game now. A building comes alive again. And, you know, it's a different hockey game versus going to the third period down to Dallas scores 10 seconds into the third, and that just kind of felt like the dagger.
That's a big difference in the game. And, you know, Nick Foligno, and I was talking about this during the broadcast, like he doesn't get mad for no reason. And he was, like you said, he was irate. There was a sure goal for Foligno. Ottinger was caught over onto the right side of his crease there. It kind of bounced around, and it came back to his right, to our right, to his left. And it was a wide-open opportunity. And Harley, the defenseman, just kind of swung around, and he just chopped the stick out of Nick Foligno's hand. And so he couldn't shoot it in the net. I mean, it was a sure goal. That should have been an automatic call there, but it wasn't, so there was some frustration there. But they got a call right after that when Lindell knocked down Connor Bedard, and I thought that was a kind of a light call because it's a big defenseman playing up against a smaller guy, and, you know, Bedard, his back was, you know, towards him. He wasn't against the boards or anything like that, and Lindell just comes in and basically knocked him off the puck there, and he turned around. He wasn't happy. Was it a makeup call for what happened before? Maybe. I don't know, but Foligno should have had a goal, and that certainly would have changed the temperature of this game.
The official attendance for this game was 20,627. It was the highest attendance of the season this year. I mean, we were here at Puck Drop. John Weideman was looking around. He's like, look at this crowd. I mean, this was probably the fullest crowd at Puck Drop probably all year.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not surprised because it's the holiday season. You've got a lot of people home. In front of us, there was a lot of kids and stuff. So, maybe it's we're getting your Blackhawk tickets for Christmas or, you know, whatever it is. But this time of year, you do see a rise in the attendance. And unfortunately for them, a lot of them are going home before 60 minutes, and that's frustrating for them because you pay a lot of money and you want to see a good competitive game. We all wanted to see something better from the Hawks in this game after losing that game against Buffalo, but not meant to be. They can regroup and have a good Winter Classic game, and everybody's going to forget about this one.
I was just going to say, I feel like a lot of people or a lot of fans that were here are probably going to be doing double duty where they experience a Blackhawks game here at the United Center, and they're going to go over to Wrigley Field on Tuesday and experience the outdoor game. And so it should be a fun little two-game swing for fans that are, I'm sure, are trying to double dip.
Yeah, I mean, for all the fans who weren't able to attend or maybe too young back in the day, but, you know, to see a game at Wrigley Field is pretty special, and it's a great venue, one of the best ballparks in the history of the NBA. Major League Baseball, MLB, and I think hopefully the weather holds off a little bit as they are able to play the game, but it's going to be fun to go down there, and we're all excited. Paul Zering, our great engineer, he's got everything set up there. We're showing us some pictures of where our broadcast perspective is going to be, and we're going to be a long ways from the rink, so it's going to be an interesting call because we actually can't see some of the rink because of the angle that we're looking at. So when pucks come along the near boards, we're not going to be able to kind of see what's going on there. It's kind of an interesting way to see the game, but we will have monitors in real time. I'll be able to look at those and see what's going on. But it's a lot of fun to go down there and enjoy Wrigley Field, watch an outdoor game, and get a great, good rivalry against the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, I feel like the hype has been felt over the last week or so in Chicago, where it's like every day it's like, oh, this is what Wrigley Field looks like today. And then it's like you see the progress the next day and the next day, and kind of the hype builds up. I know from the outside NHL fan that it's just kind of like, oh, it's just another outdoor game. But I feel like the outdoor games have a lot of meaning to the city that is hosting it because it just feels like a whole spectacle for like the week leading up to it.
And it's the same thing with the stadium series games that, you can only have one Winter Classic, but you can have some of these stadium games, and those are more catered to the local regional areas. And it's special to be playing at Dodger Field, wherever they've had these stadium series games, across the NHL. It's a special opportunity to see the game of hockey in a different light, in a different venue. I think the NHL does a fantastic job in selling the game in that area, and it's really popular in the local areas. And, people are saying, well, we're kind of getting sick of all these, games. But regionally, I think they're important, and I believe that they get well-supported locally. And the Winter Classic is going to be a great example. And, again, it's all going to depend on the weather.
Yeah.
If the weather is not cooperating, it's going to be a frustrating game. They do have contingency plans to push the starting time back on Tuesday. The worst case scenario is they can't play the game. They're going to play it the next day on New Year's Day. And hopefully it works that day if it doesn't the day before.
Yeah, hopefully the weather cooperates because that would be a real buzzkill as far as, even today it rained all day. And so I'm sure it took them a while to, for the ice technicians to try to get everything set up. So both teams are scheduled to practice at Wrigley tomorrow. And so they'll kind of get a feel for the ice conditions, but the ice technicians probably didn't have any time today to get the ice right. And it was probably just a tarp over the ice because it was just raining all day.
Yeah, I heard that they weren't able to get really anything accomplished today because of the heavy rain that fell earlier. So, you know, we'll see what happens. They've got, for the Winter Classic, they bring in the best of the best as far as the guys who do the setting up and the preparing of the ice surface for the games. And it's not easy. You're dealing with sun conditions. You're dealing with sometimes snow, which we saw at Soldier Field. You look at the rain situation that's put a damper on some of the games that they've had in the Winter Classic. But these guys are ready for anything, and if they can make it happen, they will.
Yeah, and there's a nice mix, too, of guys that have never experienced an outdoor game, whether it's a veteran, rookies, but also, you know, like I was talking to Peter Mrazek before, and he's like, this is my fifth outdoor game, and I'm still just as excited. You know, so it's just this cool mix that it just...
And for Seth Jones, he was worried about not being able to come back because he had broken his foot and play in the Winter Classic game because it's his first.
Right. And how about Ryan Donato? I guess had three opportunities at an outdoor game prior, but never got the chance to actually play in one. I think it was with Boston. I can't remember all off the top of my head, but I know he was with Boston. It was one time where he was hurt and couldn't play, another time where he got traded before the outdoor game was played, and then when he was with Seattle, they were going to get an outdoor game the next year, but then he ended up leaving. And, you know, so it's like this poor guy has had three outdoor games lined up, and he hasn't participated in any of them. So, nice for him to be able to participate in one.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting game for the home team you bring in, and for the St. Louis Blues as well, the visiting team. But a lot of people brought in family for the holidays, and they're sticking around for the Winter Classic. They're going to have a practice ice time slot tomorrow, and then the players, the coaches have a family skate that they can bring their kids out there and skate at Wrigley Field, weather permitting. Hopefully everything goes well, because that's kind of the special part of it, to be able to, you know, encompass your families and really enjoy it as a group together. And it is something special. And, you know, they never had the Winter Classic games when I played, and I certainly would have loved to have played in one of those games.
Yeah. All right. I dig it. Well, you got a busy day tomorrow.
Yeah, I do. I do. We've got a great event going on tomorrow night, and last chance if you want to pop out to the House of Blues tomorrow night. Doors open at 7. The event itself starts at 8. We've got Wayne Gretzky. We've got Chelios. We've got Dennis Savard. John Hamm, the actor, who's a big St. Louis Blues fan, he will be there. Panger's going to do a hot stove Q&A at the House of Blues, and that's going to be great to hear the stories about Wayne Gretzky and, you know, his days in St. Louis, what he thinks about the rivalries that are in the NHL, all kinds of great stuff going on, and the Stanley Cup is going to be there as well. So if you're interested, go to blackhawks.com/blackandblue. Check it out. Tickets still available.
That's the other part of the Winter Classic, is the build-up, is all the hype that surrounds outside this alumni event. I saw the Spittin' Chicklets crew was there, had an event, like a live event earlier today, where Chris Chelios and Jeremy Roenick were there, and they surprised the live crowd with Wayne Gretzky coming. And so it's like all these outside events that lead up to the event itself that is kind of builds into the hype.
It's the marquee event of the year for the NHL, other than getting to the playoffs and going for the Stanley Cup. So it's a big moment, and the NHL is heavily invested in all this. You know, it's a major, major event, and you've got all the best players in the history of the game coming in to be a part of the Winter Classic. I'm excited. I played against Wayne Gretzky. I know him to a degree, but I'm excited to see him tomorrow down at the House of Blues. Chelly, Savvy, I love those guys, played with them, and there's going to be a ton of Blues alumni, a bunch of Blackhawks alumni there. It's going to be a great event, and I think it's going to be just one of those special things that are a part of the Winter Classic.
And hopefully the Blackhawks can start turning around their record in these outdoor games. Just one win. It was the Soldier Field game.
Yeah, and that's the only one I missed, because my mother had passed away, and I was actually back up in Western Canada. But I was watching the game on TV. I know John was calling it, and it was actually beautiful with all the snow coming down, and it was a really nice, picturesque type of game. And that wasn't a Winter Classic. That was a Stadium Series.
Stadium Series, yep. Yeah, against Pittsburgh. By the way, are you going to play the sax tomorrow?
I'm going to leave it at home.
Yeah? Okay.
Going to leave it at home.
No karaoke? No.
I'm not... Somebody else asked me that.
I think that was me, actually.
Yeah, I'm not
was
a karaoke.
Was that on the last
I'm not a karaoke guy. I put it this way. So if you're a longtime listener and you go back to the mid-80s, I was in a band called the Chicago Six, and we had Gary Nyland, Kurt Fraser, and myself from the Blackhawks, and we had Walter Payton, Dan Hampton, and Dave Dorson from the Bears. That's why we're the Chicago Six. And we played at UIC in front of 10,000 people. We're all completely out of our element. Played the Taste of Chicago. We did, you know, bar shows, and we did a bunch of appearances and stuff like that. But going into it, they wanted everybody to sing one song, at least one song. So everybody auditioned for a song. They got to me. I sang a few words. Yeah, that's good enough. No, you're not singing. I was the only guy that didn't have a song.
No way. All right, I think we actually have some audio to play.
Krista, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Wow, that is incredible.
Incredibly awful. If we went on to those America's Got Talent, we'd get buzzed right away, like, get off the stage. But everybody else was good. Dan Hampton, a fantastic musician, can play lead guitar, bass guitar. He was great. Walter Payton was the drummer, and we had so much fun with Walter. He was such a character. And just think, we've got to put this band together, and we're playing a concert. But to get the schedules together of Walter Payton, the Bears player, during the hockey season, so it was on the days off. Every day we had an opportunity. We were down at a studio working on our craft, and I had a personal tutor. We all did to kind of hone our skills. If you asked me to play another song that wasn't on that playlist, I wouldn't have a clue, because I just practiced all those songs, and I had them down. But I haven't played since then, so that's a long time ago.
I don't know what
I have no intentions of picking it back up.
I don't know what I'm impressed more by, that sound that I just heard, or the fact that Krista was able to pull that up so quickly. She had it ready.
Yeah,
she's a legend.
For the first time, she got something like quick and ready. No, I'm just kidding, Krista. Hey, she's the best.
Krista is the best.
Yeah, now I'm going to pay for that.
Yeah, you are. Yes, you are.
But how did they find that so quick?
I have no idea. That was incredible.
And even then, I don't think I was a background singer. I was the brass section along with Dave Dewerson. He played trumpet. I played sax.
Okay. All right. So it's not going to make an appearance tomorrow, unfortunately.
No. And the whole story, real quickly, you can talk about the 5-1 loss if you want.
Nah.
But the whole story about me ended up playing saxophone is Biosco Music was a big music store way back in the day in Chicago. And I knew one of the brothers, so I went in, and I used to play piano as a kid, so I was going to buy an electronic keyboard because you have a lot of downtime in the NHL. I go, what am I going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to pick up an electronic keyboard, have a headset, and just kind of mess around and play. So I walk in to buy a keyboard, and for whatever reason, I come out of that place with 2 PV concert speakers, a 6-channel mixing board, and a saxophone. I have no idea how I went in to get an electronic keyboard, and I walked out with a saxophone. Never played one in my life, never seen one, never done anything.
Oh, man.
And then I was playing in a band.
Wow.
Well qualified.
Went from 0 to 60 very quickly. My goodness. All right. Oh, I'm being told that we are getting sound from the Blackhawks locker room. Seth Jones and Taewoo Teravainen. Maybe we've gone too far off the rails here, but that was the great Troy Murray. Looking forward to a fun Winter Classic on Tuesday. The Blackhawks postgame show is going to roll on right after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, that was Wyatt Johnston's goal to make it 4-1 Dallas 10 seconds into the third period. That really felt like that kind of deflated the sails of Chicago, who were attempting to mount a third period comeback, but it kind of was prevented before it could even get started. really quick, let's go to our player of the game, which is sponsored by Burger King. Get your $5 Whopper Jr. duo today. You rule. Going to give this to a Dallas Star, just given how this... Actually, I'm going to do a two-way tie between Jamie Benn and Matt Duchesne. Both of them had a goal and two assists. They were both plus four on the night, and they each finished with five shots on goal, which was tied for all among all skaters. So Matt Duchesne and Jamie Benn are my players of the game. Let's go to Teuvo Teravainen, who spoke to the media just a little bit ago, and hear what he had to say about this loss.
What do you think went wrong in that one?
I don't know. It's just been tough on it after a break now. It's just a couple of really bad games. Pretty disappointing.
Seth was talking about, you know, the momentum being lost there in the second intermission. We've talked about that a lot this year, about trying to get back. How can you guys try and get it back as quickly as possible?
Yeah. I feel like there's been a lot of games. Something goes wrong, and just the game just start going the wrong way. So I guess we have to figure it out. Someone, like, there's mistakes to be made, and someone do a mistake, we just have to get better right next shift, and just gotta be better, just everyone. Yep.
You guys have lost some low scoring close ones, but here lately they've had a lot of goals against. Do you think the goalies are getting enough support defensively?
Yeah. Everybody has to be better, for sure. Goalie's been really good for us the whole year. And right now, a couple of games, we're just not helping them at all. So it's just all those little plays all over the ice. Just everybody has to win their battles and be in the right spots.
How did that major penalty kind of change the momentum?
Yeah, I feel like that was a tough one. I don't know if I saw five there. So that was a tough one. They get a goal and the momentum starts shifting the other way, so and we lost a big player there too the rest of the game. So, and I guess sometimes it goes that way, but we just gotta find a way to be better.
Do you think all the attention on like penalties that go to the head have kind of like been a crackdown? Like maybe may have led to like a 5-minute major?
Yeah, I don't know. The refs and I don't know, they're looking for something. I don't know. I'm sure they saw something, and it's just refs are doing a good job. It's just a tough job they're doing, so it's just the game, how it goes sometimes.
With the Winter Classic now, does this come at a good or bad time, where in the next few days, we're supposed to be more feel-good?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting for sure. We just need to start to focus on that one, try to find some fun, and there's going to be a lot of families in town and stuff, so it could be a great turning point for us and be great for that game and start something good.
That was Blackhawks forward Teuvo Teravainen. He picked up a secondary assist on Connor Bedard's goal. He also finished with one shot on goal, 15:03 of ice time. I think him saying there, I don't know if I saw five on the Tyler Bertuzzi hit. When I saw it in real time, I was a little confused that they gave it a five. And when they were reviewing it, I'm like, oh, this is going to go down to a two-minute penalty, because I didn't see any malicious intent there. And when they, admittedly, when they kept it at a five and ejected Bertuzzi, I was kind of surprised by it. But I think it goes to the, with the elbow, even though it wasn't malicious or came across as intentional, it's still Bertuzzi's job to control his elbow. And so I think that's where, you know, you kind of look at the replay, and I think it's Bertuzzi just needing to be a little bit more under control there. But yeah, I can see how, you know, sometimes you look at the ejections around the NHL that are hits to the head, and they look much dirtier than the one that looked like the one tonight with Tyler Bertuzzi. And I think that's why it looked a little bit confusing as to why it was an ejection. All right, let's go to Seth Jones. He was a minus three on this night, picked up an assist as well, and hear what he had to say about this loss.
Talked a lot about you guys getting off to good starts, and then things just kind of turned. And how much was that Bertuzzi call? Just kind of everything seemed to change there.
Yeah, we couldn't seem to find momentum after it. And, you know, there's going to be adversity through games like this. And we have to find a way to turn it around. But, you know, it's still, I don't even know what the score was. 3-1 after two? It's still a game.
Yeah.
And then you know, they put it away 10 seconds into the first period, or into the third.
What did happen in those first couple minutes of the third there?
The goal specifically, or?
Just the whole, yeah.
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
We sucked in the first 5 minutes of that period, and against a good team, it's going to happen. Against any team, it's going to happen.
They have 15 minutes of power play. It's kind of hard to win a game like that, right?
Definitely. Our PK has been good all year for us. But when you put that much pressure on the PK, it's tough to, you know, it's good players. You're going to find a way to put the puck in the net. We got one ourselves, but it's definitely too much time on the PK.
You guys, for so long, it's a knack for, you know, being in games in the third period, maybe not closing them out, but it feels like the last few games where they've been a little bit more lopsided and they haven't really, you know, been as close. Is it feeling out new system, or where do you kind of see, I guess, where things are maybe breaking down, where the games were tighter before?
I'm honestly not sure. Like I said, it's a game 3-1. You know, we took the 5 minute. Still a game going to the third. We have no reason to come out the way we did in the third period, and like I said, we sucked. It just wasn't good enough.
Is it tough looking for answers at this point?
Is it tough looking for answers? Yeah. You know, we want to be a team that goes out and plays, and that should do all the talking for us. And we want to be a competitive hockey team that, you know, regardless of the results, we put our best foot forward, and we're prideful about the way we play. And the last two games haven't been the case.
Are you still finding it a challenge to kind of get back to your pre-injury form?
Just trying to take it shift by shift, you know. Certain plays are different than others. Certain games are different, so just trying to find the right flow.
It's kind of overshadowed by the loss, but Bedard is having kind of a heater this month. How do you keep it going, like, throughout the game? How to keep him going.
I mean, you got to ask him. But, I mean, you know, when he's moving his feet through the neutral zone, he's shooting the puck. You know, he's not overhandling. I think that's when he's at his best. He's setting up other guys to make plays and score goals. And you saw in the power play, it's just a simple, you know, not his best shot. You know, we all know what kind of shot he has, but he's put into the net and good things happen.
Do you think the Winter Classic will be a good experience for him, just playing under that spotlight in the NHL, all this hoopla, you know, for his development, right?
Definitely. You know, it's the biggest stage right there, the Winter Classic. And, you know, obviously you have playoffs and Stanley Cup, but I think it's going to be a great experience for him. You know, and really for our team, you know, we have laid an egg the last two games, and it's a great opportunity for us to go in front of our fans at Wrigley with that kind of experience and make it right and do something good here to end the year.
With the way things have been going, I mean, to look ahead to the next practice and the next game being unique in a season, is that a good thing for this team right now, you think?
Maybe.
Something different?
Maybe something different, yeah. Switch it up. You know, I know a lot of guys have families and friends in town right now, so we do that practice tomorrow. It's going to be a hectic couple days, but, you know, once we hit the ice for the game, you know, business starts.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Seth Jones. We got more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game. And then we'll hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Oscar Bach over the Hawk line down the right wing side. Fed it to a wide open Lindell in front. He shoots in. Soderblom got down with the right pad and stopped it.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. Arvid Soderblom faced 35 shots in this game, ended up giving up 5 goals, so his save percentage was .857. But he didn't face his first shot in this game until the 7:45 mark of the first period. He also had a really nice early save on Jason Robertson, I think midway through the first period. So he looked pretty solid in the beginning part of the game. Unfortunately for Chicago, things just went sideways. And then his counterpart, Jake Ottinger, stopped 24 of 25 for a save percentage of .960. He is one of the best goaltenders in the world. All right, let's go to Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen and see what he had to say after this 5-1 loss to the Dallas Stars.
Got off to a good start. We've seen that a bunch this year, but how much was the Bertuzzi call just kind of change everything with this one?
Yeah, obviously hurt us, right? And then they scored right away. But then we did a good job of weathering the rest of that PK out. And then, but it did hurt us a little bit. But then third one, probably hurt a little bit more, to be honest with you. So,
What happened in those first couple minutes of the third period? Was there something specific that happened as far as them scoring those first two early in the third? Or
No, that was like I think the fourth one was kind of a fluky goal, right? I thought we were there, but again, they're getting by us. We're outside the dots a little bit. They get by us. They get inside there, and then I think he goes off his shin pad, right? So gotta be better there, and then yeah.
What did you see in the third one?
I think we just got caught with duplicating outside the dots, and then once they get into that, you know. So we didn't handle that rush really well. And it's a tough play for Sodi, right? It's a long lateral play, and it's quickly in the back of the net.
What's going wrong with the line changes?
What's that?
The line changes, or the one too-many man, and then I think the first goal was also on it.
Yeah, the too-many man was, we were coming, and then we jumped on, and we stayed on, right? So that one was no good, and then the one after we killed the penalty, you know, I think there was just awareness of where the puck is when we're changing. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
It's the 23rd time scoring first to lead the league. What's happening to that those quick starts?
Yeah, well, today was good, right? It seems like at home we do it, right? So we'll take that as a positive for sure. Now we just got to do something with those, right, and try to build off of those leads. And you score one goal in this league, it's tough to win, right?
I'm sure coming in you knew that it was going to be up and down, and it's going to be a process. What, you know, after 11 games, where do you kind of feel like things stand? And obviously, where you guys seem to be creating some positive momentum, it's way the other way. Where do you see it this in, I guess, your progress?
Yeah, there have been some positives in terms of, like, some of the stuff we're creating, but it's also, like, you know, when it goes the wrong way, we can't let it snowball. We can't just let it go that way, right? If it's quick goals after goals against, we give up another one, or let's start a period like we did today. Those are things we're going to nip in the butt here pretty quickly.
There's the next practice and the next game is unique in the season. Is that, for a team that's struggling to find it, can something different be good at this point?
Yeah, absolutely, right? We got to try to go in and, you know, have a good skate tomorrow and enjoy the atmosphere and the scenery, and then, you know, come ready to go on the 31st, right? But that is change of scenery would help right now for sure.
What was the thought process behind putting Brody and Jones together?
We've liked Allen and Murph together, and we liked Vlas and Krebs together. There it is.
What do you think of Brody and Jones together?
Could be better, yeah.
Bedard is having his best month clearly. How do you sustain that even more so throughout the game where he's not just having like a flash, he's dominating throughout the game?
Offensively, you mean?
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's lots to go into the game, but offensively he's doing some good things. I thought today obviously he was on for a bunch against, but some of them weren't necessarily on him. But yeah, I mean, offensively, he's playing well. He's creating a lot and trying to get him on the ice in those situations and, you know, get him the puck a lot. And yeah.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. The Blackhawks did shuffle up their D pairings in this game. Louis Crevier drew back into the lineup for Kevin Korchinski, who was reassigned to the Rockford IceHogs after a 9-game stint here in the NHL. It didn't have any points to show for it, but you definitely saw the strides that Korchinski had been making down in Rockford. And so he goes back down there with a little bit more confidence, maybe, that he was able to put those strides to the test. And now hopefully down in Rockford, he can play his usual 22 to 24 minutes a night in the AHL. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Right in the net, Toropchenko, the puck deflects. Parayko, he scores! Colton Parayko put the rebound on. Walker bangs it home. 2-2 the score. Aussie, 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 and we're tied at 2.
That was Chris Kerber of Blues Radio, KMOX, 1120 AM. Nathan Walker scoring his fourth goal of the season. But unfortunately for St. Louis, it came in a 4-2 loss to the Buffalo Sabres. So when St. Louis made their coaching change with hiring Jim Montgomery, they were 4-0-1 in their first five games under Montgomery. But they have since been 4-5-2. Over their last 11 games. So their play has trailed off a little bit, and the Blackhawks are obviously going into the Winter Classic on Tuesday on a 4-game losing streak. So both teams are kind of not playing their best hockey right now. And so, you know, you heard some of the questions in the media scrums, whether a game like this or like the Winter Classic can help kind of change the mood of some of the games that have been happening around both teams as of late. By the way, Kevin Powell and I are going to be at Murphy's Bleachers from 1 to 3:30 on Tuesday, kind of a doing a 2.5 hour sports show prior to the Winter Classic that will take us into the Blackhawks pregame show and, of course, into the Winter Classic. So really excited about that. Come swing by if you're in town for the holidays and you're looking for something to do before the Winter Classic gets underway and the gates open at Wrigley Field. It should be a great day. Hopefully the weather holds up and we don't get any puck drop getting pushed up or pushed back or postponed a day. So it should be a fun day, and hopefully the Blackhawks can come out of there with an outdoor win, which we haven't seen in since the 2014 Stadium Series over Pittsburgh. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Tony DiNardis and Frank Ruggieri. They were led by our engineers, the captains Krista Flores back at the station and Paul Zerang here at the United Center. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 5-1 Blackhawks loss to the Dallas Stars. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday from Wrigley Field.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com, and through your smartphone with the WGN app.